Sector 2, move into position. Units 3 and 4, maintain coverage of Sector 7.
Copy that.
Listen now, Mr. Kansas Law Dog. Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now.
Get them up and move them out, boys.
Come with the territory. Ask any cop, he'll tell you. If you can't stand the heat, you better stay out of the kitchen.
I wish I was a kindergarten teacher. But I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Supernatural Christian Podcast with your host, Bruce B. Len.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us tonight. Bruce B. Len is with us on Supernatural Christian Podcast. He's starting his very own show. Bruce B. Len has spent years in the police industry, various levels. Right now he's a police chief. He's also a pastor at Crane Christian Church, and he's passionate about law enforcement and the gospel. And this podcast is going to allow him to kind of mix both of those together, share some interesting insights with you guys, and share some spiritual insights as well. Thank you for joining us tonight, Bruce.
It's good to be here, Jake.
Awesome. Well, Bruce, kind of tell us tonight what the Lord has kind of put on your heart to talk about, and we'll get started from there.
Well, I'll tell you, just a little background, and the reason that I feel the way that I do or my interest in this is I actually got my first badge in 1976, and since then, almost nonstop, I've been either teaching or working full-time in law enforcement and teaching law enforcement officers. But anyway, the point is through these years, especially after about 1985, I have seen an enormous amount of fraud perpetuated on people. And it my heart always really goes out to them because of the amount of And don't get me wrong, I've worked a lot of different cases, but I just kind of wanted to focus on that tonight and the fact that they prey on the very people. We use the word prey, by the way, I mean P-R-E-Y. They prey on the people that can many times are the most vulnerable. And I just kind of wanted to spend a little time talking about that tonight and both use some past things that's happened, but maybe educate some folks so that they don't fall, don't lose their money to somebody who's trying to take something that they don't deserve.
Absolutely. I know it's a real problem. I actually, just a while back, got scammed out of some money, and as you know, I was not happy about it. I lost about $1,000 to a guy that got me hook, line, and sinker.
Jake, I had forgotten about that.
It was an investment. It was an investment thing. And, man, it looked and sounded so good. And, I mean, they had a professional-looking site. I talked to people. I just didn't do enough research. It just sounded so good, and I liked what I heard. If I had done a little more research, I would have found it out. Or I would have found out I shouldn't have done it.
Right. Well, fraud, computer fraud, fraud through the on the telephone, Facebook, all the different ways, and we're going to talk about a bunch of that in a minute. But in for 2019, the U.S. lost about people in the U.S. lost about $170 billion.
Wow!
And I want you to think about that and just recently, I'll give you an example of what really kind of stirred me up. About a month ago, that's 2 months ago now, but a state police officer from the East Coast, I'm going to be very generic about some of this stuff, okay, except for how to not let it happen to you. But he contacted me on the telephone and said, "Hey, I'm working a case out here, and it part of the trail goes to your little town there." And so we started talking, and he is, him and like 12 others from his state are assigned to do nothing but work these internet scams, these internet frauds, this hacking. And this, he was working of something that was already up to about $500,000, and it was tied into something that was actually in the little town that I'm the chief of. So in just talking to him, it just really opened my eyes and how much of this is going on now. So it was when you think about the amount of loss, it's staggering.
Yeah, $170 billion, you said, that's a lot of jack.
That's what it says.
A lot of change.
The top fraud losses in the U.S. account for an average of $170 billion each and every year. I mean, it's like 1% of the gross national product. I mean, it's just, and with technology changing every day, the amount that they're stealing and the ways that they're doing it is outrageous. If you don't care, I'll go back to the Bible for just a minute,
sure.
Because I love it, Jake, that the fact that, literally, I say I love it, but the fact is that people have been doing this forever, and Jesus actually deals with it in Matthew 23:14. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive a greater condemnation." I did a little research on this, and essentially what would happen would be a family, a man and woman, the man would die. They would then come up with this fake loan or fake note that was owed on the house. And they would scam her out of the house and put her out. And then that home would become theirs. And then they would sell that, of course, and make money for themselves, and while under the pretense of being these great religious people. And I think Jesus got irritated very little at the sinners and an awful lot about the religious folks, it seemed like to me. But when the religious folks were doing stuff like that, it was pretty rough. But anyway, the point being is that's been around for a long time. And some of the first scams that I ever worked, and this will go back 30 years probably, were where, and it took me a while to kind of understand it. I remember the first one I worked. It was pretty simple. The people would stand out in front of a bank, and someone would come along and say, I'm from, another country, or I've never used a bank before. How does this work? Can you get your money out after you put it in?" And they go through a series of bait and switch things and a series of them holding some of your money and you holding some of their money, and then they would leave with all the money. And the guy was explaining it to me, and or they were reporting it, and I was just totally confused of how and why anyone would, number one, fall prey to that. And so I went to my detective supervisor, and I said, "What? How is it possible that this person, didn't understand this?" But then, as we looked deeper into it, the basis of what they did, they played on, human emotions. They played on either sympathy or something that they couldn't make a clear decision. Sometimes they would use a pretty girl, so it'd be the romantic edge. Sometimes it'd be sympathy of the person, they don't understand the banking system. There's all kinds of ways that they, use that, but and sometimes it was greed. They'd say, "Well, I'll give you $100 if you know, you will hold this money, and because I just need somebody, I just need to understand how this works, and you know, they use natural human emotions that we have, and they play them against us.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's really messed up, man. Really messed up to hear that type of stuff going on. I've never heard of that particular one, and I'm sure that's one that everybody became familiar with, and over time they move on to something else. It seems like there's seasons that they do a particular thing and then they move on. I would say when it comes to the elderly, and then it seems like they can run the same thing over and over again.
Let me tell you, there again, there's another vulnerable population. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but another vulnerable population. I have worked, I don't want to say hundreds, I've worked many, many against the elderly. One of them that came up when I was working actually as chief at a different department was that they were calling these elderly people and saying, your grandchildren are in jail. Oh. And they would get on there and say, because they would get on Facebook or whatever, and they'd find out their names, and this is Sally, and they'd talk in Sally's voice and all this, and they would want them to go to Lowe's. The one I remember was about 4 years ago, go to Lowe's and get $500 worth of Lowe's cards and then read those numbers to us, and we'll let him out of jail. And another one was the people's kids were in jail. And those were all elderly people.
Can I tell you one that hit my cell phone a while back, and they actually started to get me, and I realized it was fraud, but it took me a second. And the reason is it was just like a shock and awe value. They called me and told me that I'm at risk of being arrested for some type of fraudulent charge that I have made. And so what they did was they called me claiming to be part of the federal something. I forgot what it was now at this point. But the first thing I noticed is there was a lot of noise in the background. So it was in a place where a lot of other people were talking. I didn't hear really much insulation. There was just a lot of noise. It sounded like it was just a bunch of people crammed into a small place. And then the wheels started to turn pretty quickly. He said he's from a federal group and all this stuff. And I actually gave him a few pieces of information before I figured out, wait a second, why would, you know, this doesn't make any sense, you know. And he basically started asking me for information to help me verify the charge, and they were going to take care of the fraudulent charge. He got a little ways into the call after I gave him just some basic pieces of information like my name and address, and I hung up on him, and I realized it was fraud. He called me back the next day, and that guy got on the phone and said they're from the federal such and such. And I said to him clearly, I just said, in the name of Jesus right now, I said, you guys are going to cease this illegal operation. He hung up. And I was just like, I was done, man. I was declaring the gospel. I was declaring truth over that situation, because I guarantee you they're getting a lot of people with that, because they almost got me. And I'm a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like to think I am.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And here's the deal. That's not the way the federal government works. That's not the way the state government works. That's not the way any legitimate organization works. They do not do that. Now, they might call you and say, hey, we need to sit down. We need to, you know, they might, but they would be a face-to-face or at least something way more than you've made a fraudulent charge. Or the other thing is that they sent some, I can't remember, this has been in the last year also, is they called sent them an email and said, hey, we know what you've got on your computer. If you don't send us this amount of money, well, the person that they sent this to was someone who, because they called me and they said, you know, Bruce, I have never put, there is nothing on my computer. I have never looked at any porn. I don't know any. And I told them, I said, don't worry about it. It's a scam. Delete it. Keep moving. Relax. Everything's okay. You know, I mean, it's just because they were wanting, I think, $700, you know, or they were going to send that to somebody or do something. So the another one that I've worked very recently, Jake, is the boyfriend, the whole boyfriend issue. So you have ladies who are on Facebook or on dating sites, and they are looking for, you know, a mate or a boyfriend or whatever. And these guys will befriend them on whichever, you know, whatever it is, and they'll start talking to them. And they're, I think the last one said he was a United Nations worker in some other country. And, you know, and then, of course, then there's the emergency. That's what they'll establish this relationship for several weeks, maybe even a month. And then there's this emergency. My daughter has been in an accident. I need $700. I've got to come back to the U.S. and I don't have enough money. There's an emergency. You have to do it now. You got to do it now. You can't think about it. You can't call a friend. You got to do it now. And again, it's the same. You know, it wouldn't give us your debit card. Give us this. And all of these work the same way. They're working off of, you know, a sympathy, loneliness, and romance. It's rough on these folks because then they think about it. Many times they either call afterwards and they get to thinking about it, realize they've been taken. They call us and there's nothing we can do because 90% of the time those kind of scams are done from some country overseas where, you know, Libya, I mean, there's gobs of them. In Eastern Europe, they're doing that now. Those people that called you, they were in a call center somewhere doing that.
Now, what percentage of these do you think get busted? Like, obviously, top level stuff gets nailed, but I mean, there's probably not enough cops doing investigations to go around to cover half of these, right?
Well, do you think about this, Jake? What jurisdiction do I have in Libya? Zero.
None. Yeah.
And so let's say they rip somebody off for $10,000. What do you think the chances of them ever being accountable at all to anyone for that $10,000?
Well, that's, I can tell you 100% they're going to be accountable to God one day, but in this life, yeah, I doubt it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, literally, these people are, they are operating in countries where they may have to pay a tax on it. I mean, literally, it's just part of their life. It's part of their culture. And when
that's
I was
part
talking
of their
to this
domestic
state,
product, right?
Yeah, I mean, literally, one guy that I worked in the last, I don't know, 2 years or so, he literally, there's no telling. He was actually working as a laundering agent without knowing it in a romantic relationship with some lady who was going to come to his house. She was going to do this. She was going to do that. I'm sure she was probably a man from another country because he was sending him pornographic pictures of who he said was himself or who this person said was themselves. And I mean, through texting, and he would send them credit cards, and he wanted them to do was go cash that, put that in a different. It was just laundering money. And this guy was, I think he was 82. But again, there's no one to prosecute. They've constantly faced. They're trolling for people. They're looking for people. If they can catch one out of 100 and get, you know, $10,000 or, you know, and maybe $700 in Libya is probably a lot of money. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I mean, honestly, man, if I'm almost getting looped into stuff, I know there's a lot of other people getting things because I don't think. I mean, I think I'm halfway intelligent, and some of this stuff is good, man. I mean, they're coming up with new ways every day, whether it be over the phone.
Well, and like Craig, like, well, yeah, yeah. And like Craigslist, I mean, there was a guy that contacted me a few years ago, and it's been a few years now, probably 10, that, you know, he is an outdoorsman, and he had a three-wheeler and wanted to get a four-wheeler. I have to tell you how old it was. It's three people riding three-wheelers, but he wanted a four-wheeler, and this four-wheeler was, it was a great deal. I mean, it was reasonable, you know, it was probably a, I don't know, two-thirds the price it should have been. And they somehow changed money over, you know, I don't remember if he sent him a check or a cashier's check, and he showed up in the parking lot to meet this guy. And there was no three-wheeler or no four-wheeler. There was no four-wheeler. It was, he lost like $3,500 on this deal. And again, that was not somebody from overseas. That was somebody right here in this country. They, when I was, I was actually sitting by the phone one time in a Sunday school class, and the phone rang, and we weren't active. It wasn't going on. And I answered the phone, and this was a guy who wanted to meet me in the parking lot in Springfield, and wanted some money so he could get some work clothes. And he was talking about, I mean, this guy had done this over, he had this down to a, and I said, well, sure. I said, you know, I'm the chief of police, and I'll be glad to come up there, and we'll sit down. I'll talk to you a while, and we'll see when we can help you. And I'm glad you found a job. And he hung up, and of course he was all a scam. And then I found out that he had called every church in the area to do the same thing. He's going to meet him up there and get him some work clothes, right? So he either was going to let you go inside with him and him get all the clothes, and then you shake his hand as he goes out. Then he turns around and brings it back for a refund. I mean, it's, and that was a face-to-face thing, you know?
Yeah, that brings me to another, I mean, another part of this topic. And I think because of all these acts, that these nefarious acts that people do, people get skeptical of the real people in need. And, man, I can't tell you how many people I know that will tell you, oh, if you see a homeless person, don't give them money because they're just going to use it for drugs, or they don't need it, or they're just trying to scam you. I mean, I think what happens is the legitimate scammers have such good cover and such good cloaking, you know, disguising themselves, that they're not identified. But because other people have been hurt, sometimes those in need are suspected of being the scammers. And I know there are people out there that are homeless that don't really need it. You know, they don't really need the money, or that's just how they're making their living. Like, they're actually doing halfway decent. I realize some of that happens. But man, when I see these people out on the street, every time I get a chance, I try and give them water, try and give them something. 'Cause I just think about it, and I'm like, man, one day we're going to have to answer to the Lord with the poor that were around us. And an excuse of just saying, well, I thought they were going to use it for drugs, in my opinion, that's not good enough. I mean, what's your take on how to address that situation when you have people out there that, like, how do you balance all that, man?
Well, I'll tell you how I do it. I have people in place around me who take care of that for me, if that makes any sense. What they do is I invest in them because I know them, and then they are the ones who actually are feeding the people who are hungry. They are actually doing that. It's not that I don't ever get involved. I mean, we were part of a program, Farmers to Families program, and we were calling people, hauling food. We're doing all kind of stuff. But well, on the level that you're talking about with, like in Springfield, there's several programs where these guys, they need financing to, because they are going there. They are feeding the hungry. They are, and they're the thing that I really like about these programs is they're giving them Christ, because Christ is the answer for what ails these people. It is. And I've actually preached at a couple of those deals, and it's just, I love them. I mean, I absolutely love them, because these people are coming from. Most of them have either repented in jail, or, and you know, people say Oregon just passed a $100 fine for street drugs. I mean, you can have methamphetamine in Oregon now, and it's $100 it's administrative fine or something, where it's really not, it's decriminalized. So, I mean, that's going to add to their street population. It's going to add, but the answer to these addicts, the answer to the mental health situation is Jesus. And don't get me wrong, I know people need counseling. I know people need stuff. But Christ is the answer. So, and I'm not saying go up and hand them a tract if they're hungry. That's not what I'm saying, okay?
Right.
But what I am saying is invest in these legitimate programs that are working to get these men and women off the streets, that are ministering to the prostitute, that are ministering to those people, because they are out there. And, you know, hopefully, maybe by listening to this podcast, maybe that will stir something in somebody that said, you know, God, you've been talking to me about that, and I want to be a part of that program, be a volunteer, or, you know, be a minister in something like that, be a servant.
Amen. I hear you. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's astonishing some of the stuff that we come across now. And of course, I mean, obviously this fraud happens on Wall Street, and it seems like when it happens at that level, and they really take serious amounts of money from people and companies and stuff like that, it seems like oftentimes justice is not carried out. Because it can't be at that point. The money's gone. Like, there's no way that person can ever return that amount of cash to the individuals that they stole from. There's no way to bring reparations. I mean, the only thing they can do is put that person in jail. And with some of these last situations, you know, in the housing market, some of these guys just killed themselves. I mean, they just basically got the easy way out, and these people were left, you know, just broken completely.
I'm not trying to downplay that at all, but I know so little about that multi-million dollar the ways of that stuff. I know it's real, and I know that corporate America is riddled with it. But what I do know is that literally in these little towns in Missouri. And it hasn't happened in, I'm going to say, a year or two, but almost every year there for a while, or maybe a couple times a year, we'd run across either a city clerk or a police chief or someone, who had taken advantage of their position and scammed, you know, or skimmed, I guess is a better word there.
Embezzled money.
But which is, again, it's fraud, yeah, taking, you know. And one point, someone had stolen $160,000 from a library. I thought, my Lord, how much money is in libraries? But anyway, I mean, it was astonishing to even look at those figures. And people, little bit by little bit, you know, had taken advantage of the system.
So we've talked about a lot of the main issues. What in your take, man, is the safeguards for people? I mean, obviously there's just common sense stuff, but I think
No, you're right, and I think we need to go past common sense. I mean, here's the deal: someone calls me and I don't know them, and they say anything. They say, let's start on the telephone first. They say, hey, this is AT&T, and we're just verifying your account. What's the last four of your social security number? If they call me, I don't tell them anything. I hang up immediately. I don't tell anybody anything over the phone. Literally nothing. Now, if I call, say I called AT&T and they said, hey, Mr. Beelan, I see you got an account here. I'm sorry, I have to verify who you, what's your address? I tell them my address. Then what's your code word or what's your, you know, what something? Because that's a legitimate business. You're trying to do. You called them, okay? I have never talked to anybody where you called a company and they were ripped off. It's always someone calling you. So number one, any phone call that comes in, if they say, "Hey, you're behind on your bill," then that, you know, that may be legitimate or something. Hey, are you going to pay your insurance this month or whatever? But you know, but seriously, don't give anybody anything over the phone that calls you. Nothing, literally nothing. The second thing is, anybody who emails you, and I hate these scams where they email people and say, "Hey, I'm your long lost relative. I live in South Africa. Blah blah blah."
Nigeria,
you know, so nice.
Nigerian friend.
Yeah, you remember all that.
Yeah.
And another one was a retired missionary. One time, contacted me about a situation where he had given several hundred dollars, maybe into the thousands, to try to get this chest in the country so that he could see the treasure inside. I mean, anybody who emails you anything, listen carefully. If you don't have any long lost relatives, okay? Tell them to take a picture of themselves. No, don't do that. That might get something else. You don't want that. But the point is do not believe any of that stuff. None of that is real. None of it is real. In fact,
nobody's hunting you down to give you money, essentially.
No. They're going to spend it on themselves. You have to pay $60, then you can get your refund from so-and-so, and then you pay the $60, and you're not going to get anything, okay? You're just sending your money away. Facebook, you know me, and I use my Facebook essentially for ministry. And what happens is I have people continually want to be my friend. I click on their profile, I look and see how many friends they have. Most of the times, the mutual friends they have will be somebody that I barely know, and it's not someone. And so just refute, because if they send you a message, "What's up? What's going on?" Listen, they don't know you. That's not a legitimate thing. They are trolling for people to have relationships with, to ask them for money.
And here's the other thing that I've noticed is common is, "Hey, can we get to know each other better?" And I'm like, okay, I don't know you from Adam. It'd be one thing if you just started a conversation with me, but when you say, "Can we get to know each other better?" That's just basically just throwing a red flag. Hey, I'm trying to siphon information from you.
Well, sure. And it's always amazing to me, Jake, because if you watch it closely, many times you can tell that English is their second language.
Yeah.
And the way they write. And so I have, literally, so no one who emails you, no one Facebook message, you do not use that. You need, if you were looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I know there are legitimate Christian dating bills out there.
I found my wife on eHarmony.
See what I mean?
We both signed up on eHarmony. She was actually, I think, the first person I really got the final communication with. She did such a good job of matching us that she was literally like the first person I came in contact with. 5 months later, we were married. Amazing.
And that's I know there are, but there are also a lot of these others that just need to be very careful and whatever comes along there. And, you know, if anybody wants to talk to you in a parking lot about something, somebody's flagging you down, somebody's, you know, calling you on the phone that you don't know, all of those are red flags. I mean, literally people flagging in the parking lot saying, "Hey, we have panhandlers now all the time." I mean, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you know, listen to what the Lord is saying. If it doesn't sound right, it's not right.
Do you have any of that? Do you have any panhandler situations in your town where you're at?
Day before yesterday.
Okay. So it happens out there too? Yeah.
Yeah.
Springfield everywhere, man. Everywhere. Especially on the
Well, and that's a sign of a declining drug abuse, more substance abuse of all kinds, more.
And that's another evening altogether in itself, man. I mean, that's probably
Absolutely.
6 or 7 evenings back to back.
Dude, today again, I was confronted, and when I say confronted, I had to deal or had to talk to somebody about a situation where drugs have devastated the family and devastated their children. It is devastating, and that you're right. That's a talk on its own.
Man, well. Bruce, man, I want to thank you for doing this tonight, and I'm really excited about the different things you're going to discuss going forward. Guys, we got a lot of shows coming up with Bruce, and he's going to delve into a lot of topics from a law enforcement officer's point of view, but also from a Christian point of view. So it's kind of like a dual-focused lens, and we're going to hit on a wide variety of topics. Have a lot of interesting, fascinating discussions. So definitely, you know, give Bruce feedback, suggestions. If there's stuff you'd like him to talk about, if you want to hear him talk about guns one night, you tell him, hey, Bruce, you know, I want to know whether a 9mm or a 357 is the best way. I don't know guns. But anyways, point is, I want to thank you for joining me tonight, Bruce. And guys, we're it's going to be a continual thing going forward. We've also got another podcast with Scott Waterman coming on the Supernatural Christian Podcast. So we've got some more content coming through, and we're kind of looking to expand from there. But I'm really excited about what God's doing. And, Bruce, why don't you pray over the people before we go, man?
Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, because it's by your grace that we live and operate and breathe. Father, I pray, God, that as scams come up, as problems come up, as situations come up that we don't know what to do, Lord, that you would reveal the truth to us, Lord, by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, you proclaim that you are the God who is enough. You proclaim, Lord, that we have not because we ask not. So tonight, Lord, I pray and I cry out to you, God, for people, Father, who are just trying to do the next right thing. Father, give them wisdom, grace, and protection. We love you. And we give our lives to you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, you can find Bruce on Facebook, Bruce Kim Belin, B-E-L-I-N. You can also find him at oldlawdog.com. We also have a Facebook page, oldlawdog.com. You can find them there. And you can also tune in to what we're doing here on Supernatural Christian Podcast page. So, man, we got a wide variety of ways to get a hold of us. So God bless you guys until next week, and we'll see you then.